ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 41। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमी गॉड्स। धिष्ट्याम्ब
धिष्ट्याम्ब ते कुक्षिगतः परः पुमा हंसेन साक्षाद् भगवान् भवायनः मा भूद्भयं भोजपतेर्मुमूर्षो गुप्ता यदूनां भविता तवात्मजः धिष्टाम्ब।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself with all His plenary portions, such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore, you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son, Krishna, will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Purport. The words Parah Puman Amshena signifies that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the verdict of the Shastra, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Thus the demigods assured Devaki, your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is appearing with Baladev, his plenary portion. He will give you all protection and kill Kamsa, who has decided to continue his enmity toward the Lord and thus be killed by him. By your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, with all His plenary portions, such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore, you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son, Krishna, will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Hare Krishna. So the demigods are concluding their prayers. They are offering their prayers to Krishna, who is in the womb of Mother Devaki. And when Krishna appeared, even Kamsa could realize that Vishnu is there in the heart of, in the womb of Mother Devaki. Because she had changed. Mother Devaki is pure devotee of the Lord, Eternal Mother. But since Krishna had appeared, Krishna is always there, but he manifested in complete form. So therefore she was glowing. And even Kamsa could perceive that here is the Supreme Lord. So when someone becomes very Krishna conscious, like that policeman in the airport when he saw Prabhupada, he said, he is glowing. Why? Because he could feel, as explanations are not required many times in regards to Krishna consciousness. It's experience. What gives powerful impact is not the explanation so much, but the experience, especially in the modern world. People are not very interested in logical understanding. They are interested in experiential understanding. What's your experience about God? Of course, most people have very shabby and mundane experience of God. But when that experience is confirmed with the Shastric understanding, that experience is very powerful. So therefore here Devaki is so powerful, even Kamsa is realizing that Vishnu is there. What to speak of the demigods? The very demigods who went to this shore of the milk ocean for asking the Lord to appear, and they offered their prayers along with Lord Brahma and Mother Bhumi. And Krishna has come and they are forced to come down. Demigods are not envious of the Lord, as sometimes we describe. You know, as if demigods have some eternal enmity against Krishna. That is our perception. The demigods are very much the family of Krishna. In fact, the Bhagavatam explains, Vato Vati Madbhayat, Indrastapati, Suryastapati Madbhayat, Varshatindra Madbhayat. The demigods, now this bhaya, where all the demigods are performing their duty with great consistency, that there is no deficiency or any fault in regards to their actions in serving the material world. Very consistent. At the same time the rains are coming, the sun is shining, our astronomical chart, the Panchanga can say, you know, the sunrise and sunset ahead time, a year before. Why? Because they know the demigods are very consistent. So the bhaya, Prabhupada explains, is the dutifulness of the demigods. They're very dutiful in serving Krishna. So therefore, all the demigods, naturally they came down being very happy with the Supreme Personality of Godhead's appearance. And they were also giving the credit to Mother Devaki, that Devaki has been responsible for, like Prabhupada explains here, she is Krishna's eternal mother. How can somebody be mother to God? But Krishna plays this pastime, he plays this leela and allows the same eternal associate to become mother. So there is no competition in regards to being Krishna, and there is no competition in regards to who will be mother of Krishna. And there is no competition also. Everything in the spiritual world is already decided, preset. We go there not to unsettle. If we go to the spiritual world thinking, you know, this time I want to become mother of Krishna, then we better stay in the material world only. Because in the material world, the very nature of this material world is that we want to unsettle everybody and settle ourselves. Therefore, we are in the material world. It's a land of envy. And because it's a land of envy, continuously there is a threat. Everybody is feeling threat by others, and everybody is threatening others. So when we live in such a condition, threatening and threatened by others, how can we be stable and steady? It is not possible. Therefore, Prabhupada gave a very simple definition of Vaikuntha, means where there is no anxiety. And material world means Kuntha, where there is anxiety. Everybody is in anxiety. Why? Because the surrounding is so powerful, threatened by envy, and we are threatening others by our envy. So in the spiritual world, one has to be very clear to understand that you cannot settle anybody's service. All the services are already being done to Krishna. We are only going there to assist. And the assistance also of Krishna may be very far. We may not be allowed in the inner circle also. Very uncomfortable from the material point of view. Everybody wants to be there in the center stage. You know, not to organize, but the attraction of the center stage. Therefore, wanting to be God is not very surprising for the conditioned soul. When we hear Krishna is the enjoyer, our Shyamananda was speaking recently. He said, when we hear this word, Krishna is the enjoyer, suddenly there is upsurge of envy. Why he? Why not me? Mayavad is not a philosophy. Mayavad is our conditional nature. One is to talk Mayavad philosophy, but one is to act on the platform of Mayavadi philosophy. One is the philosophical Mayavad and one is the psychological Mayavad. Psychological Mayavad means what? I want to be taking somebody else's seva. I want that position. Everybody wants to be somebody else. And nobody wants to stay where they are and grow from their position. So therefore here, the demigods are non-envious, coming down without any hesitation and offering heartful prayers, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, very powerful personalities. In fact, when you are more powerful, when you see somebody is doing better than you, there is a greater expression of envy. Because they have power also. When they exhibit their envy, a conditioned soul, when he is very weak, how much can he express or she can express envy? And even if they express, there is no facility to actually make it into a reality. Why? Because there is less power. But the more powerful people, when they express their envy, they are extremely powerful in their expression. They take action also. So therefore, when we understand Krishna from a different aspect also, not only from the enjoyment point of view, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjuna, Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta. Krishna is not only the enjoyer. Everybody wants to enjoy, but when it comes to performing some seva, then, no, everybody should serve, but not I should serve. But see here, Krishna, he is the first bharta. Upadrishta. Upadrishta means overseer. Overseer means basically being a guard. He is standing. The Upanishadic verse explains Krishna is sitting with the bird. There is a living entity and there is a super soul. And how long? Eternally, he is observing, waiting for us to move our face to him. We are eating our own fruits, our karmic fruits. Some are bitter and some are very sweet. But we are not willing to, we are still trying. Maybe I'll get sweet fruits. And Paramatma is standing in such a detached manner, he could catch our throat and force us, rascal, surrender. But he never does. He doesn't do it. When we do little preaching, we are so result-oriented. At the cost of harassing the other party also. Become a devotee. If you don't become, what will happen to my success? So Paramatma is so amazing that is waiting since time and immemorial. Never loses his patience. So this role nobody wants to play of God. Of waiting forever. The role of enjoyment is very easy. But the role of overseer is very difficult to play. Basically being a security guard. A security guard standing outside 8-12 hours. You know, there is no excitement. The excitement is there on the other party who are coming to steal, who are coming to attack. You know, for the security, nothing is known what's going to happen. He has to monitor who is going in, who is coming out. And then most of them who are coming in, who are going out, they are not relevant people also. But still you have to keep an eye. Because maybe if something goes wrong, you have to know who had come, who had not come. So Krishna, as the Upadrishta, he is doing this seva also. Upadrishta Anumanta. Anumanta means giving permission to the living entity. Continuously. If you study again the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, when Arjuna was speaking all kind of, not nonsense, he was speaking right thing, but at the wrong time. Therefore it was nonsense. So Krishna is hearing. All his ear, just imagine you train somebody, your student, for his PhD thesis and is about to appear for the exam. And he is speaking exactly opposite what you have taught him. Nothing what you have taught, he is speaking exactly opposite. How can you handle that? And Krishna is smiling. Krishna doesn't become angry. In fact, before killing all the warriors, Krishna should kill Arjuna only. Because he is betraying. At the last moment, the Lord has come to perform. Dharmaraj has come to establish dharma. And the very person is supposed to be instrument in the hands of Krishna. He is rebelling against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, Krishna is smiling. Allowing. At the very conclusion of the Gita, Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, yathechasi tatakuru. Giving permission even to do which is not according to his desire. Who can be God like this? Upadrishta Anumanta. Bharta. Now one definition of Bharta is master. But why is he master? Why does he take the role of master? Because he takes the role of master because he has the power to fulfill all their needs. Krishna provides the needs of the conditioned soul and also the liberated soul. No discrimination in regards to providing food, in regards to providing air, in regards to providing all the facilities. The Lord does not make any discrimination. Equally everybody gets it. Bharta. So to achieve that position of providing everybody, what a challenging. Prabhupada explains, it's easier to maintain a kingdom than to maintain a family. People who are supporting their family, they know how it is difficult to actually become a bharta, a provider. A father can provide for some time. Then he says, tell the son, okay, now you start doing it. He's always wanting to give up that job of being a provider, waiting for a time. And nowadays, the wife also has to join. And the son also has to join. I want to retire. And Krishna is doing it eternally. He never stops. And in Kali Yuga also he provides. Not that he doesn't provide in Kali Yuga also. You know, being a bharta, he is a Vishwambhara. Vishwambhara means filling the belly of entire creation. Whether somebody is an ant or an elephant also. Prabhupada explains, who is providing the elephants in the African jungle? And how much they eat? What is their one meal? How much? That's all. More. His is only 40 kilo. I think it's more. Even 40 kilo is more. And these elephants are, hundreds of these elephants are there, and Krishna is providing them. He's becoming Bharata. And he's Paramatma again. You know, extending, being in the heart of every living entity, people ask this question, how can God appear from the womb of somebody? His Godhood will be destroyed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead coming from somebody's womb, you know, we discussed this during the Janmashtami also, that somebody is a great personality, he wants a red carpet treatment. He doesn't like to go anywhere and everywhere. When he wants to come, you know, they may do some kind of, you know, drama of traveling in a local train, surrounded by 100. I remember I read somewhere, when Mahatma Gandhi insisted traveling on the third class train, another politician said, this costs more to the government than traveling in a first class bogie. Because third class means what? They have to provide more security. He has to perform the drama of traveling in third class. But to provide security, that was more expensive. One astute and very practical politician said, why not travel properly? Why spend more money? Sometimes you see the sadhus, you know, they have this rule of not traveling. They have to, you know, they don't go on a vehicle. They only need to walk. They don't wear shoes. For them to perform that job, 10 other people have to travel in the car. 10 other people have to walk in the shoes. So here, Krishna is Paramatma. He doesn't have such demands. He doesn't say, I only want to stay in the heart of my pure devotees. The only difference is the pure devotee realizes and responds to the residence of the Lord in the heart. But Krishna is residing in the heart of all living entities. Doesn't expect anything. Being Paramatma, I heard one Vaishnava poet saying that the concept of Paramatma is not simply the Lord is there as watching our activities. Sometimes somebody is watching you all the time, you feel irritated. Like children, they always get irritated by the parents. Where are you going? All the time. The cell phone is fun also, but the cell phone is also irritating. Why? Because the mother will keep calling. Kaha gaya? Ghatkopar. Kaha gaya? Chembur. Kaha gaya? Every other minutes, the call is coming. That's very irritating. When somebody is always catching you of your activities, Paramatma is not like that. A very interesting explanation given that Paramatma is the aspect of Lord distributing himself, giving himself to everybody. He has given his own self to all the living entities, including even a small insignificant ant. What a humility. Giving himself to everybody else. People, if you ask their, you know, card also, visiting card, they don't want to give, what to speak of giving themselves. People don't want. You have to pay more money for a private number. Unknown idle call. When it comes, some of our brahmacharya are trying to get phone number which was other party should not understand. Private. It was very costly, extremely costly. So nobody want to be identified. But here Krishna, not only he gives his identity and all for our benefit, not for his benefit. Boldly declaring, again another concept, so beautiful. Paramatma distributing himself to others is the sign of not trying to irritate us, but I am there in all conditions of life, being the permitter, being the provider, being the overseer. And my aspect of enjoyment is described by the philosophers. The devotee philosophers describe Krishna more as Krishna is the enjoyer, so that we do not perform the sin of artificially taking somebody else's role. When we take the role of somebody else, we can't function properly. A cricket player, he goes to play kabaddi, mostly will not be able to play. A kabaddi player cannot play cricket. Even in the material world, where you become expert artificially, we cannot take another role. A lawyer cannot become a barber. Only in the temple it can happen. Or we shave each other's head. So, and some are more expert. They shave their own head also. But in the mundane world, you cannot take anybody else's position. Even if you try doing it, it only increases the inefficiency. It is not possible. It is extremely impossible. So therefore, why the acharyas talk about this all the time, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the enjoyer? Not to make this point for harassing us, but to protecting us. That don't try to become enjoyer, because you cannot enjoy Krishna. So when we understand Krishna's personality from an overall perspective, not only as an enjoyer, from overall perspective, then our claim to be God is naturally, spontaneously, is given up. Our Dayaram Prabhu says, sometimes people want the position without the responsibility. To have a position without a responsibility, you know, it gives, I have the position. But what about the responsibility? No, responsibility is somebody else. I will appoint people under me. They will perform the responsibility, but I want the position. But Krishna, therefore it is explained, that very interesting point in the Ramayana. Recently we celebrated Ram Vijay, Vijay Dashmi, killing of Ravan. When Lakshman was going along with Ram, when Vishwamitra Muni called, when I want Ram to come to the forest. And Dasharatha Maharaj said, I will not send my son. Impossible. He promised that he will send, but he did not fulfill his promise because of affection to Ram. Then Vishwamitra Muni became very angry. He said, okay, I benedict you that you be prosperous. It was a sarcastic comment. That means everything will be destroyed. Vasishtha Maharshi said, he said, better you give your son. So when he agreed to give, Lakshman also went along with Ram. Vishwamitra Muni did not call Lakshman, nor Dasharatha Maharaj stopped Lakshman from going. And the explanation is given that Lakshman is like betel nut which goes along with the leaves. He has no other position other than being the servant of Lord Ram. So similarly, not accepting Lakshman as a servant is also disturbing the position of Lord Ram. So when we don't serve Krishna, and the acharyas through parampara and the shastras, where they insist upon serving Krishna, Krishna is being kind to us. He's not demanding that you have to serve me, because that will not disturb your constitutional position. And by accepting your service, my position will not be disturbed. Therefore, here we see the Supreme Lord continuously, again and again, every time, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. This verse is spoken out of compassion. It is spoken out of compassion that every time I need to come here. Again, sometimes people ask this question, why God has to come all the time? Why not establish once and for all dharma? It is not possible to establish dharma in the material world, where it is the land of adharma. To establish dharma even for one day, that's a great success. Prabhupada explains in one place, practicing Krishna consciousness in the mundane world, it is almost impossible. The surrounding, the circumstance, the surrounding is so foreign, the material world is so foreign to the surrounding of spirituality, therefore this struggle from the Lord's point of view also indicates that therefore he has to come to this material world again and again. I remember many years back somebody asked me, I used to go for this collection, and one big man said, you know, he gave perfect calculation of Mahabharata. That was the first time I got to know him. I said, you know, the entire Pandava stayed for 125 years. Krishna stayed for 125 years. But how long the Dharma Raj was established? He said, only for 30 years. Yudhishthira Maharaj, Rajya Karade Keval 30 Saal Ke Liye. for 30 years kingdom, how much violence was created? Does it make any sense? So that time it didn't make any sense because I had not heard philosophy properly. I was calculating, hey, what doesn't make any sense only. All that struggle, all that fight, killing so many warriors on the battlefield. And how long Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled? Only for 30 years. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj ruled for 60 years. Then after the disappearance of Krishna, Kali Yuga began. And again, all the vices reappeared. So what is the point in coming and struggling? No. That even one day, if Krishna consciousness flourishes, so many conditioned souls can be liberated. So therefore, Krishna is continuously not struggling. That's his pastime. But what is his pastime? His pastime is not to torture the living entity. His pastime is to perform the activities of saving the soul. Our Sachinandan Maharaj is mentioning one time, the leela of saving the soul does not exist in the spiritual world. And it is not that he creates suffering to the conditioned soul so that he can enjoy. Krishna's enjoyment is caused not because he wants to enjoy, therefore he creates a trouble to the people of this world. In a sense, living entity from the spiritual world, you go and suffer because I need to perform the act of being compassionate. It is not like that. It is not the cause, rather it is the effect. He wants to save, and that also becomes his leela. Therefore, only in the material world, Krishna comes down to perform the act of saving. If you read repeatedly in the Bhagavatam purports, especially in the 10th canto, or anywhere in any commentary, Srila Prabhupada repeatedly says that killing is not the most important duty of the Lord. Because that he can do from anywhere. In fact, when Duryodhan was brought down, and he was lying, you know, being hit by Bhima's mace. And Bhima also placed his foot on the head of Duryodhan. That's what he deserved. But still Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, you can't do like that. Just see, Yudhishthira Maharaj also in the line of Krishna only. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, you cannot put your foot on the head of Duryodhan because that head had covered the crown of Hastinapur. He said, don't do like that. You can imagine Yudhishthira Maharaj's compassion, and you can also imagine how much pain was there in the heart of Bhima. How much he had seen that his family suffer, Yudhishthira suffer, Arjun suffer, Draupadi suffer because of Duryodhan, and he was not allowed to rectify by giving him punishment. And Prabhupada writes in one place, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, he said, the Lord did not appreciate the trouble or the difficulty was Duryodhan was going through when he was lying down there. He didn't like it. It's a thankless task. So killing the demons is not his enjoyment. But protecting devotees, nourishing devotees, giving them Krishna consciousness through shastras, through the chain of disciplic succession, that gives the greatest pleasure to the Lord. Sanatana Goswami therefore explains in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when the living entity goes back to the spiritual world, who takes greater pleasure? In fact, we should be taking greater pleasure. Going back to Krishna, you know, when sometime devotees go back to their family to meet good family, there is a great pleasure. But here Krishna is more ecstatic than the conditioned soul. He has never suffered. For him, one living entity coming to the spiritual world, no big deal. He may not have to respond also, but his response is so great, the Lord faints, Sanatana Goswami says. Krishna faints, seeing the living entity come back, and then he expresses gratitude also. This is God. The definition of God, you know, not that he's exhibiting power. He doesn't need to exhibit his power, but just see the character. The character of God, character of Krishna, is that we rebelled. We are enemies of God. You know, we created so many philosophers to, you know, prove the non-existence of God. But we came in touch with Krishna's devotees. We became little devotees and we were made bigger devotees by Guru. And then when we go back to Krishna, we didn't do anything. Our efforts were very minuscule, very little. We were all spoon-fed. Balam, rice and ghee is continuously fed. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, If you don't feed that, nobody will chant Hare Krishna. So everything is done by the other party, but when we go back to Krishna, what is the response? He doesn't say, at last you have come, right? Learned your lesson. No. He expresses his gratitude. You don't see such description anywhere other than in the Vedic literature. The concept of God, when we present God as very powerful, you know, supreme autocrat, that brings fear. Because anything powerful is difficult to handle. Because along with power comes cruelty. Wherever you find power, you find cruelty. That is synonymous. Power and cruelty, they are synonymous. Anyone who is powerful to express, to show, he has to act cruelly. But here is the most powerful personality, but is able to express gratitude. Therefore, the question is raised that why did Devaki and Yashoda serve Krishna? If they serve Krishna because Krishna was their son, then there is a conditional service. What is that condition? The condition of, because he is my son, therefore I am serving. What if Krishna is not your son? What if Krishna is not your friend? We serve our friend, we entertain our friends because they are friends. They are being favorably disposed to us, therefore we serve. So if you serve somebody because he is related to you, then what happens? Your seva is ultimately not selfless, but it is selfish. There is entertainment also in serving. My own interest. I love to do it. The I concept is more prominent than you or we concept. So did Yashoda serve Krishna because Krishna was her son? No. That in serving Krishna, she offered everything. Sarvasva, everything was offered to Krishna. It doesn't matter whether Krishna is my son or Krishna is not my son. Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Radharani says, we discussed this during Radhashtami also, that it is not that Radharani is serving Krishna because there is a mutual exploitation. Krishna likes Radharani, therefore Radharani likes Krishna, and therefore Krishna likes Radharani, and very careful not to hurt each other, because if you hurt each other, you know, relationship might break. In the mundane world, everybody has to be extremely sensitive, have to be very diplomatic, have to be politician in regards to dealing with people. If you hurt like this, then it costs very much. You have to pacify them, giving by costly gift also. It's very costly. So people are very sensitive. Why? Because it disturbs their self-interest. Other party, as Prabhupada explained, there is a self-centered sense gratification and extended sense gratification. This concept was amusing. How can serving your family is an extended sense gratification? I didn't understand when I read first time. And serving the country, which I considered still, you know. It's such a selfless thing, where people let down their life, you know, they're willing to die many times. When you read Prabhupada's books, it is the extended sense gratification. Wow, you know, destroying the entire concept of seva. Why? Because still that I, me and mine is there. I serve India because I am born here. That is the main thing. The ego of being Indian is existing because why? Because I am born in India. If that condition is removed, India remains, but I don't remain to India, then that very India becomes my enemy. Therefore, it doesn't become selfless seva. So therefore, Radharani, Kaviraj Goswami so beautifully explains that when Krishna chooses to go to somebody else, he wants to go to someone else who is a rival gopi. She belongs to the group of Chandravali. We will not go into all the details. It goes to rival gopi's group. And Radharani has a rivalry with her. If that pleases to Krishna, Radharani goes to that gopi. And she says, why are you so sulky? Why are you so angry? Why can't you give up your anger and serve Krishna? Kaviraj Goswami explains, she is willing to offer her obeisances to that gopi who is a rival so that she can serve Krishna. That shows service to Krishna from Radharani is not based upon Krishna belongs to me. It's all about Krishna has to be served in all conditions, whether he belongs to me or whether he doesn't belong to me. I need to serve Krishna. So this consciousness was there in the gopis, including Devaki and Yashoda. It is not because Krishna was their son, because Krishna was there and willing to serve Krishna in any condition. Devaki was willing to send Krishna to Yashoda, and Yashoda was willing to send Krishna back to Devaki after serving for so many years, if that brings pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, in Rama and Lakshman, you know, he told Hanumanji, he said, it is the greatness of Lord Ram that he calls me as his brother. But for me, it doesn't matter. Whether he's my brother or not, it doesn't matter. My service will continue. Why my service will continue? Because I'm extremely attracted by the qualities of the Lord. He said, I'm servant to the Lord because of his qualities. So when we understand Srimad Bhagavatam properly, the Vedic literature, the Vaishnava literature, the concept of God is so beautiful. Therefore, Prabhupada repeatedly spoke about this verse of 5.29, the feast formula. Bhoktaram jaggatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Suhurdam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mruchyati. Not one quality of Krishna described. Many qualities are described. Bhoktaram jaggatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Suhurdam sarvabhutanam. He is the friend not only to certain class, only those who belong to my party, my devotees. He is the suhurdam for all the living entities. When we understand this aspect of Krishna, then his supremacy is naturally established. He is God. He is the Supreme Personality of God, and everything begins with him. That understanding becomes very easy to implement. And then we don't want to compete with Krishna. By understanding this nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, some desire develops that we need to serve such personality. We need to eternally be under his shelter. And then whatever he does with us, whether we go back to the spiritual world or we don't go back to the spiritual world, or by going back to the spiritual world, we may be told, stand at the gate. We were discussing recently in somebody's home about how in Jagannath Puri, you know, in this world also, we always, even in the devotional world, there is always competition. I always want to go ahead and take somebody else's service. And those who have the service, they are threatened by others, even in devotional world. That if somebody is dressing, you know, then we want to dress. Or we are dressing, we are scared of others. That is natural. But in Jagannath Puri, so interesting, that a family which is serving for many generations, and what is their seva? Their seva is when the bhoga is brought from bhoga mandap, from the kitchen to the bhoga mandap. Their family continuously for many generations, what are they doing? They are holding a stick to scare the crow. That is their seva. Their family next generation will also get the same stick. And they have to do the same thing. They don't claim. How can we say they are not consistent? They are not organized. And their organization's rules are not written in any books. That organization is very spontaneous. Nothing is written. When you have to write down, you have to make laws for the criminals. Not for those who are consciously understand this principle. So here for generations after generation, what they are doing? Such an amazing aspect. When I heard, one devotee was telling me that generation after generation, their seva is only to scare the crow. What a humbling experience. And there is one family, their seva is only to offer bhoga. And one family will only eat the bhoga. Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad. Their prasad is, he offers the prasad and somebody else takes the prasad. He might give it to others, but basically they receive the honor of first Jagannath's Maha. Such a hierarchical system may sound very abusive from a communistic idea. A mundane communistic idea, what? You know, dethrone everybody. Anybody is on the position is bad. But the Vedic system is so amazing that one who is making garland, he continues to make garland. He has no right to offer that garland to deities. Somebody else will do it. And one who offers the deities garland, he doesn't get the hold of that garland. He has to give it to somebody else. This is actually the replica of the spiritual world. But only the modern politician, they're trying to unsettle that and bring other rules. Everybody should do everything. And of course, in the mundane world, we have to do it here because, you know, we come from the Kali Yuga product. We don't come from that traditional system. To make everything normal, we have to apply the communistic rule, keeping Krishna in the center. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Vikalas Prabhu. We're told that all contradictions are resolved in the Supreme. But I was still confused about this thing that you mentioned, that Krishna was pained to see the situation of Duryodhana, but then he's also the supreme enjoyer. Could you please explain it further?
Now you tell me, does Krishna enjoy killing Duryodhana? He may enjoy the sports of fighting. You know, this contradiction do exist, but that is not contradiction, because the rasas, we were discussing yesterday at Srinadji Prabhu's place, that the 12 rasas are there. Karuna rasa is there and Virya rasa is also there. Karuna rasa is compassion and Virya rasa is chivalry. When Krishna, Ram was fighting against Ravan, he was experiencing the chivalrous also, and when Ravan was brought down, you know, he was experiencing Karuna rasa also. So the Lord does the needful and also enjoys. So there is no contradiction in that. The rasas, but the main thing in this world, even some rasas which are, you know, like they are in harmony, but the mere fact is that you are enjoying rasa in the material world, that leads to poisonous taste only. All harmony but material world leads to disharmony. And all apparent discord or conflict in relation to spiritual subject matter, you know, can be harmonized. It is very difficult to explain, but one has to understand Krishna does not enjoy killing. Ultimately, what happened to Duryodhana? Along with sympathy, because he was killed by Bhima in the presence of the Lord, according to Mahabharata, he went to heavenly planets. He was enjoying sitting next to Indra, even though he's not Indra's son. Right. So in conclusion, you know, that's only the destination. The road to the destination may sound very painful, but Krishna does not enjoy our suffering. That is not Leela. That will give rise to one fault in the Lord. Upanishad say, these qualities do not exist in the Lord. Nairgunya, and what is that? Nairguna and Pakshapat. That is not partial and there is no cruelty in the Lord. When we say Leela, you know, there's explained in all the literatures that the Leela of the Lord is to save the conditioned soul. Leela of the Lord is not to enjoy at the cost of the suffering of the living entities. Material world is not created because he wanted to create. Material world is created because we wanted to come here. We misused our independence. And Krishna used that as his Leela. And what's his Leela? To save. So naturally, you know, that even in his killing, Prabhupada explains, even Krishna's killing is perfect. When he killed Shishupal, it is not that he enjoys killing, but along with the killing comes liberation also. That you and me cannot do. When I kill, we kill. And then we go to prison. But when Krishna kills, you know, you may say, how can he enjoy killing? Yes, he will enjoy killing because in ultimate sense, in that killing, there is a liberation for that living entity. So how can we say he should not take enjoyment in this killing when the benefit is there for that living entity? And that's what Uddhava said. He said, the warriors on the battlefield were more fortunate. Why? Because they were getting shot by Arjuna while appreciating the beauty of Krishna. And when Arjuna's arrows are very powerful, Very powerful. Bhishma explains, such a great warrior, he said, when I receive the arrows of Arjuna, it is just like the scorpion giving birth. The she-scorpion, when she gives birth, she doesn't survive. When the baby scorpion comes out of the mother's womb, very horrible life. You become the murderer of your mother. The scorpion has to come out only after killing, actually exploding the belly of the mother. The scorpion has to die so that you can come to this world. So Bhishma said, Arjuna's arrows are like scorpion giving birth, going through and through, very painful. But what was it? It was giving rise also for appreciating Krishna. So the pain is there, but the appreciation of Krishna is there. Death is there, but in death there is a liberation also. And not that Krishna made this, but because that's what they wanted. Krishna didn't want the war. Krishna didn't want violence. They wanted violence. But Krishna is not like Lord Buddha. If there is a need for surgery, the surgery has to be done. You can't, the doctor can't say, oh, surgery is violence, I will never do. No, if the blood has to come out, if you have to take out the dirty or contaminated blood, if there is a tumor, it's a violence. Ask any doctor that is it not violence to perform surgery? The patient is not dancing in ecstasy, oh, my surgery is going to happen. We have, even some brahmacharis, when they had surgery, at least 2-3 have told, after the surgery was done, once the anesthesia was over, you know, they said, we wanted to jump off the building. So painful, so painful. Rup Raghunath was telling me, he had surgery many years back. So it was so painful, he said he would open the window, you know, just relieve myself from this pain. So he can curse the doctor, you know, why did you make such a surgery where such person is thinking of committing suicide? Anybody goes through the major surgery, when the anesthesia is done, the thought of dying suddenly comes. Why? Because it is very painful. You can't blame the doctor, because unless that surgery is done, he cannot function properly. So similarly, therefore, Krishna, he doesn't want to do what he wants to, what he is doing, but that is the need. The head of Duryodhana has to be broken. Thighs has to be broken. For whose good? Not for Krishna's enjoyment, but to deliver Duryodhana. And in delivering Duryodhana, Krishna takes greater pleasure than in killing. He has a question. Afterwards.
Hare Krishna. I just had a similar question. Like we see in the pastime of Jay and Vijay, we hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Vishnu wanted to enjoy Virya rest with Jay and Vijay. But when Jay and Vijay actually descended as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they killed so many brahmanas and so many devotees, they troubled so many people. So it appears that Lord, in order to actually enjoy his Virya rest, like in the course of that, these demons gave trouble to so many innocent people. So, how do we understand?
No, what is your explanation? It sounds, if you actually study, if you say Krishna sent Jay Vijay as a demons and they troubled all the living entities, it looks God to be extremely cruel. That for his own pleasure, you know, he is making his own people demons. And in turn, they're torturing the brahmanas, you know. They're burning them alive and then drinking their blood. You know, Prabhupada writes that Hiranyakashipu was always intoxicated. His eyes were rolling. And then he was a bloodsucker. So if you understand Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, yes, Krishna sent them to enjoy Virya Ras, but also the surrounding was like that. It is not that, again, material world, this will always exist, whether with Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, or some modern demon. You think there is a less trouble now? You may not be consumed by the demons, but you are consumed by the, you know, you are psychologically off. The television, the sports. Somebody was saying now this, what is that? Our Braj Mohan was saying some kind of rally is coming first time in India. What is that? Yeah, Formula One, see? You think there are less demons? They create false excitement to the extent where you become totally numb in your existence. You have no emotions. So the demonic propensity in Kali Yuga not killing you straight. You think that is Krishna's enjoyment? No, the situation is like that. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha came down. Their torture of Brahmanas had been done by somebody else also, but they were responsible. It is not that Krishna organizes this. Therefore, from the Vedanta point of view, if this is the case, then he gets the fault of being cruel. He is never cruel. It was anyway going to happen. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were there at that time. So we should not think that Krishna organizes enjoyment in such a way. He creates a material world. He sends us here. You know, we get tortured like small children, you know, poking the stick in the ant hole and killing the ant, and they're taking pleasure. Krishna is not such a, you know, restless child who is poking the material world and taking pleasure. Like Prabhupada explained, one Prabhupada's godbrother said, one of the Nawab from the Muslim, you know, country, he went to London and they're showing him Buckingham Palace and they showed him the place where the prisoners are executed. Then he said, how do you execute? They explained, we execute. He said, I want to actually see how you do it. And they said, but we don't have anybody. He said, take one of my servants, do it. He said, do it for him. He said, we can't do it. He said, no, I am the king. I am telling you, you do it. I want to see it. That is whimsical. That is being extremely whimsical. And that's what it happens when you are not God. Our concept is that people's enjoyment is caused by causing pain to others. Bull fight or a chicken fight, a goat fight. What does it cause? It causes violence to them. At their cost, we try to enjoy. Please, don't place that kind of mentality to Krishna. The material world is not created for such enjoyment. The enjoyment of Krishna, in conclusion, is to save the conditioned soul. So therefore, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha came down and they tortured, but Krishna is not responsible for that. It was material world which makes it, and Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha happened to be there. No, it is not that because Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha came, therefore Brahmanas were tortured, and originally who is responsible? Krishna is responsible. We can never describe Krishna's enjoyment in this way. And that is not Shastric also. No scripture ever says that Krishna causes such torture so that he can enjoy. No, sorry, then he becomes a Nawab, you know. Not like that.
You had a question? Hare Krishna Puji. Actually, I wanted to make an announcement, not for the question, but I'll ask you one question which came to my mind anyway. That in your lecture, in your lecture, you mentioned, Prabhuji, about when you go back to Godhead, it can happen that you may be in a service which is very far away from Krishna. You're not in the limelight, you're not in the inner circle, nowhere to be seen. So, of course, given the situation or mental makeup that we have in the material world, even amongst devotees, amongst the devotional circle, where here, you know, in whatever means, we are doing quite direct personal service to the Lord, if we have deities, whatever direct service you're doing to the Lord. So you feel in that sense close, you know. Gopinath is here, he's quite close. So it's like, you know, within reach. Devotees are within reach, very much close to us. So how would the soul be able to reconcile? At what point would the soul be able to reconcile that, you know, okay. Because it obviously requires some mental transformation to happen. That, you know, you are able to suddenly now, where in the material world, even till the point of death, we'll be probably progressing in some service, progressing in some position or the other. Just naturally it happens, even whether you deserve or not, it just happens. So whereas in the spiritual world, it's exact opposite. So at what point does that transformation
Therefore happen? We are called as, on the spiritual platform, we are called as Atmaram, self-satisfied. The definition of self-satisfied means being satisfied in your own self. So naturally now our satisfaction is based upon foreign self. No? In this, in that, here, if I go to this place, I'll be happy. If I do this, I'll be happy. The concept of being self-satisfied is not there for the conditioned soul. Even in this world also, if somebody is Atmaram, like Shukadeva Goswami is described as Atmaram, he doesn't need any foreign thing to satisfy him. So in the spiritual world, the very nature you achieve, the very nature of self-satisfied. So therefore, being self-satisfied means you have your own position. And when you achieve that position, naturally that satisfaction will come. Like Prabhupada explains, there is no difference between tree in Vrindavan and Radharani. He explains in Bhakti Rasamrita. There is no difference. From a rasa point of view, there is a difference. From the general understanding point of view, there is no difference. So therefore, when you are situated in your own self, then you are satisfied. And how it happens? Prabhupada writes, it happens like illumination and lightning. We can't, at least we should know that philosophy. And we see, when we are not satisfied in our own self, as much as we hanker, there is lamentation and there is always fear. We are threatened. Even if you achieve something, there is always, the time factor is very powerful. We always know that this is going to go away. With the changing times, with the body getting old also, even if you are, there is nobody to perform that seva, only you are doing. But the body says, but you know, you can't do it. So you are threatened by your own body also. What to speak of being threatened by others? We are threatened by the time factor. Even if you are nobody, one may be very rich and nobody is threatening him. But he's threatened by his own body. Therefore, in one sense, you know, we have to appreciate the Steve Jobs, the way he left his body. No, there was some kind of Krishna Prasad had given him that realization. He had given up being threatened. For most powerful thing for him was death. He said, this is the most wonderful miracle. So he withdrew from all attachment. He may not have thought of Krishna, but he ate Krishna Prasad. And so many devotees, and also non-devotees, of course. So many devotees are using his products for Krishna's service. But the amazing thing was, he was willing to withdraw. Didn't make an issue of his position. He died glorious by retiring. Nobody would have thrown him out. He retired himself. So therefore, even if you don't have anybody threatening you, you are threatened by the time factor. Your body will threaten you because the body is also foreign. So why fight? Why fight? How long can you fight? You are fighting for lost cause. When you are fighting for lost cause, it's a waste of energy. Therefore, our Narottam Das Thakur explains that we struggle to be non-Krishna conscious. It takes greater endeavor to be non-Krishna conscious than to be Krishna conscious. That's his understanding. He said we struggled hard to be non-Krishna conscious. That what verse? What song is that? Another one. Prabhupada sings. Narottam Das Thakur song is that we struggle hard to be non-Krishna conscious. Therefore, it's a lost cause. You know, you can never. So therefore, self-satisfaction means you are on the spiritual platform. So unless we achieve that, we don't go back to Godhead. It is not that, you know, here we can live a life of complete competence, you know, threaten others and be threatened by others, and suddenly you go back to Godhead. I have not read like that. It happens. You have to experience, you have to let go. In fact, Prabhupada said opposite. You're attached to Gulab Jamun, you have to come back. What to speak of this chair, that chair, this position. You know, how much more we have to come back. Narad Muni explains in the Bhagavatam 4th canto, he said, if you provoke yourself, allow one material desire to come, another material body. We should not be given false hope of living a materialistic life and suddenly going back to Godhead. That is Sahajaism. We have to let go on our own. At least no, it will be taken away. If Steve Jobs can do it, we should also do it. With so much of prasad eating. If you don't do it, you know, we have to come back to this material world. We should be as clear as that. We should not make spiritual world, you know, as if some sabji mandi where thousands of people flock in. As long as we maintain that material, yamyam api smaran bhavam. Nowhere in the scripture sometime to give encouragement to devotees, other devotee will say, are chalta hai, ant mein to jana hai bhagwan ke dham. But nowhere in the scripture it is written like that. Neither Krishna says, he is very kind, but he says, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. Yad yad, what is that? Yamyam api smaran bhavam tvajayate ante kalevaram. Narad Muni, all the great authorities are saying otherwise, and we are saying otherwise. So we have to do it here, not there. Because I remember Maharaj Radhanand Maharaj said once, he said, we will be disturbed when we go to the spiritual with this consciousness. It will be very disturbing. The spiritual world will be extremely disturbing. Everything is very harmonious. We don't want anything which is harmonious. People say, too peaceful here. We are disturbed by nice atmosphere. You know, we thrive in competition. We thrive in envy. We thrive in, just like the worm in the stool, you know, you put the worm, remove him, place in the middle, and this side halwa and this side the same stool. It will rush towards the stool only. Why? Because he thrives in that atmosphere only. So how can we suddenly depart? At least, I don't want to go like that. Maybe I'll be more disturbed. For me, the spiritual world will be hellish then. Because, you know, I'm not experienced, I'm not practiced that consciousness. And suddenly you're brought. Sometimes you go to somebody's place where the environment is very foreign. And then you become very restless. You can't stay. You want to just move away from there, run away from there. So similarly, spiritual world, you know, people sometimes they come to the temple and the purity of the temple disturbs them very much. They prefer to go to the bar in New York only. Because they are very comfortable. So how suddenly it happens, nowhere it is explained. And it should not happen like that. It is only simply to encourage so that we continue practicing Krishna consciousness. Because the truth, what we are told in the beginning, and if we are told everything, we would not take to Krishna consciousness. If I knew what I knew in the beginning, I would have never come here only. It was given slowly, slowly. You know? I think Muralidhar Prabhu told once, Maharaji was asking question in his room during our Brahmachari class many years back. Maharaj said, it's too late now. You can't go back. you know many things now. That's what happens. You know many things and you can't go out and you can't stay in. Better stay in only. And perfect your life by becoming self-realized and self-satisfied. No choice. But you... It's like joining a mafia. If you go out, you'll be killed. So better stay in and why not like it? Rather than not liking it and doing it, better like it and do it. Fake as a pure devotee. You might become a pure devotee. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.